You and I are stewards of what we have been left with while we live here since salvation.
Dr. Tony Evans says those resources need to be put to work.
So God did not save you and leave you here with a certain amount of time, talents, and treasures to forget Him.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Today, Dr. Evans has some surefire investment advice that'll pay dividends for the rest of your life and far beyond. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19 as we join him.
Financial planners tell us to prepare for retirement now, to not wait till you're 65 to begin the process of preparing for retirement, but to start as early as possible, laying aside a certain amount for saving so that when retirement comes, you can live a decent and responsible and independent life. In other words, if you want to retire responsibly well, you prepare for it in advance of that time. You don't wait till the last minute and simply hope it all works out. In other words, any responsible financial planner is going to talk you in or seek to talk you in to be future oriented, to be thinking about what's ahead, but to do it in advance of your arrival there. Jesus Christ speaks to why having a future perspective, an eternal perspective, is absolutely critical for your earthly life now. And one of the ways he would teach us about this is through a story that the Bible, the New Testament, the Gospels call parables. Parables are stories that the Lord crafted to teach a vital spiritual principle. So when God wanted to drive something home, he'd do a story. The goal of the story was to zero in on the principle of the story. And so we are told in verse 11 that the disciples thought, since Jesus was now here, the kingdom was going to come. But as you saw, the enemies did not want him to rule over them. He was rejected. And because he was rejected, that created a delay in the kingdom that God was to establish on earth through Jesus Christ. So Jesus wanted to explain to his disciples, both then and now, both there and here, how they were to function during this interim period between the king leaving and the king returning. During this time of rejection, he wanted to teach them how to live now in light of his return. Since he has not yet returned, we are in this period of time between his first coming and his second coming. And so the story, the parable, applies to you and me. Jesus says that a nobleman was going away, referring to himself, and he called 10 of his servants, and he told his servants, I'm leaving, but I want to give each of you 10 minas. A mina is an amount of money. He says, I'm going to give you each 10 minas during my absence, and during the time I'm not here, your job is to do business till I return. That's your job in this gap between my first coming and second coming, in our case, between our salvation and our trip to heaven. I'm going to give you 10 minutes, and I want you to do business till I come. So during this time when you're waiting for me to return, I don't want you to be passive. I don't want you to be aimless. I want you to get some business done until I come. And so he calls the servants, and it says he gave each of them 10 minas. Everybody in this story has the same thing. All 10 get the 1,000, get the 10 $100 bills. They all get 10. Now, this is a little different than the same concept that's told by Jesus in Matthew chapter 25. You don't have to turn there now, but in Matthew 25, verses 14 and following, Jesus tells a similar story, but with a different twist. Because in Matthew 25, when he tells the story, everybody got something different. They didn't get the same amount as in this story. So let me explain. He leaves each of them 10 minutes, and he uses the money to talk about something bigger than money. He uses minutes, but he's talking about something bigger. He's talking about life. All of us have three of the same things. What we don't have is what he talks about in Matthew 25, the same amount of the same things. We all have the same things, but we don't have it to the same degree. The first thing that all of us have is time. Now, we don't have the same amount of time. We're not all going to live to the same age, but we all have time because we're alive. With time, time from a kingdom point of view, because the nobleman went away to get a kingdom, the time in the kingdom perspective is a boundary in which opportunities exist. So within this thing called tick tock, time is opportunity because you use your time to do things, to accomplish things. The second thing all of us have are talents. We have varying abilities. We don't have the same talents, but we've all been given capacity to do things for the king and for his kingdom, since the parable is about the king going to get a kingdom. We don't all have the same abilities. We don't all do the same thing, but we all have some capacity to serve the king and the kingdom. The third thing that all of us have are varying degrees of treasures, resources. Everybody doesn't make the same thing. Everybody doesn't have the same amount, but we all have some level of resource. So when he speaks about giving them all the same thing, he's talking about the life he is entrusting to them, used by the illustration, that they are to do business with till he comes. To have the same thing does not equal it having the same value. You can have the same thing without it being the same value. And what changes value of the same thing is its usefulness. Sand is sand. Wherever you see sand, you're going to see the same thing. Sand is sand, and that's all that sand is. Sand is sand. On a public beach, sand is free. You walk on it, the ocean rides on it, the waves crash on it, because it's sand. Now, if you want a sand pit for a kid's playground, well, you're going to have to go to the store. You have to go to Home Depot. You have to go to Lowe's. And that same free beach sand is going to cost you $25 plus a bag. You mean to tell me the stuff I can get for free at a beach, you're going to charge me for? Yes, we're going to charge you for it because of what you're going to use it for. In other words, once we change the use, we just increase the value. In Silicon Valley, they use sand in computer chips. That sand just got expensive. The same free sand of the beach, bag sand for the playground, is now worth hundreds of dollars because of how it's going to be used. Its use increases its value. So you all have time. We all have talents. We all have varying amounts of treasures. But we're not all equally valuable to the kingdom when it comes to doing business till he comes. All 10 were servants. All 10 belonged to the nobleman. All 10 belonged to the master. And he says, do business till I come. So the king entrusts time, talents, and treasures, life, represented by the minas, in order for you to do business till I come. Now, please don't miss this. You are supposed to do the business. See, a lot of us are asking God to do business that he's waiting on us to get done. Any time in history that he wants to use means he must borrow that time from you. Any talent in history that God wants to use means he must borrow that talent from you. Any treasure that he wants to use in history, he must borrow that treasure from you. But the same categories in varying degrees. So God did not save you and leave you here with a certain amount of time, talents, and treasures to forget him. In fact, he left you here, and the reason he didn't take you to heaven the moment you were saved is because there was a work he expected you to do, and he calls that work business.
Dr. Evans will tell us more about how that business operates when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, a quick reminder that tomorrow is your last chance to receive Tony's current series, The Eternal Perspective, as our gift. This 10-part collection focuses on how to avoid letting what's in front of you take your attention away from what's ahead of you. You'll discover the benefits and blessings of not waiting till you die to start living the forever life Jesus gave you. Just visit TonyEvans.org, make a contribution of any size, large or small, and we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of The Eternal Perspective. But don't wait, this special offer runs out tomorrow. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or call 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are on duty 24 hours a day to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
You and I are stewards of what we have been left with while we live here since salvation. And the job of a steward is to protect and expand the assets of another. So God is expecting that your life, time, talents, and treasures will protect and expand his kingdom purposes. That's what he's expecting. And so he's left some stuff behind, time, talents, and treasures, with which you are to pull that off. You are to accomplish that with those three areas, those minas of your life. So what happens? He's been rejected in verse 14, and therefore he's absent right now. But verse 15 says, when he returned. Oh, he did come back in the story. He hadn't come back yet in our history, but he come back in the story after receiving the kingdom. The kingdom up there is turned over to Christ by the Father for him to institute down here. We call it the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. He ordered, strong word, he made them. He ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. This is called accountability. The nobleman, Jesus, returns, and all of those who are his followers are called to him. And his question is, what did you do with the time, the talents, and the treasures that I left you with during my absence that I told you to do business for me while I'm gone? The question on that day is not what did you do for you. The question on that day is what did you do, as you'll see in a moment, with what was mine on loan to you. Suppose your bank told you that they decided to take the money that you entrusted to them, and that they decided that they wanted to gamble it in Las Vegas. And they are sad to report they lost it. If they told you they lost it, you'd lose it. And you would lose it because you entrusted that to them to protect it and through interest to expand it. That's why you did it. In other words, you didn't entrust it for them to frivolously play around with it because you had a purpose for putting it in the bank. While the king is gone, he has left everyone in this room who has accepted Jesus Christ a remaining amount of time, spiritually endowed talent, and a certain amount of resources, but all the same category. And he says, do business. And then he returned and he wanted to know, what kind of business did you do? This is called in 1 Corinthians 3, the judgment seat of Christ, when he will evaluate, what kind of business did you do for me and the advancement of my kingdom that benefited others for which I got the glory? When the master, the king, came back, he called the first guy. He said, now I gave you 10 minutes. Show me what you got. He says, master, you gave me 10 and I made 10 more. In other words, master, there's 100% return. I'm not just giving you back what you gave. I'm doubling what you gave me. And here's 10 more. I expanded what you gave me. The response of the master was accolades. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I am going to put you over 10 cities. Please notice something. The reward was consistent with the expansion. You got 10 minutes. You made 10. I'm going to give you 10 cities. And I'm going to give you 10 cities based on the expansion of what I originally gave you. I gave you time and you expanded it from me. I gave you talent, you expanded it from me. I gave you treasures, you expanded it from me. And I'm going to reflect that and I'm going to give you 10 cities. We're told next that the second guy comes. And the second guy says, master, your mina master has made 5 minas. I have 50% increase. You got 5. I didn't get 10 like the first guy. I got 5. The master says, you are over 5 cities. Notice what he didn't say. Well done. He only said well done to the first guy because the first guy maximized the opportunities. Second guy was half-stepping. He doesn't get a well done. In other words, he could have done more, but he didn't. He was 50% there. And so he did not get accolades. So he comes and he holds account these two. But then we're introduced to homeboy number 3. Another came saying, master. Oh, now he talking right. He's talking like a committed follower. He says, masters. Like folk in church hollering out, Jesus. You sound good. Master. His terminology was accurate. Here is your mina. Here's what you left me. Which I kept put away in a handkerchief. Because I was scared. He says, I was afraid because you are an exacting man. You take what you did not lay down and you reap what you did not sow. In other words, you're hard to please. I didn't want to risk losing your mina. And so because I didn't want to risk losing it, I did actually nothing with it. Because it was too risky knowing how how tough a guy you are. He said to him in verse 22, by your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. You call me master, but it hadn't changed anything you do. It hadn't changed any of your priorities. There's still no time, talents, or treasures used for me, my kingdom, my name, and the good of others. But you call me master. Your theology has not affected your activity. You have no value to me. I left you here with a certain amount of time. I left you here with a certain amount of treasure. I left you here with a certain amount of talent. I left you here for my kingdom. I come back and you're just talking about I came to church. The theology did not affect you. And you are a worthless Christian. Okay, now follow this. God gives credit for what you do in his name for his kingdom to benefit others when you do not require anything in return. That's a key factor of this. When you require a return, that's secular business. Nothing wrong with secular business. That's how you do secular business. You require a return. You got to pay me for this product or pay me for this service. What God gives credit for is when you do it for his name and the good of others and expect payment from him, not them. And from this parable, when God pays, he pays big. I made 10 talents and you're going to give me 10 whole cities to run. Bible speaks about 100-fold repayment. So those of you who are here today and you're living the best Christian life you know how, you're giving your time, your talents, and your treasures for God's kingdom, and it's not been fair to you. It's not been right by you. Guess what God says? I think it's in Matthew chapter 5 around verse 11. He says, when you're having to pay a price for doing right, notice what he says. He says, rejoice. Wait a minute. How am I going to rejoice when I'm not being treated right? He says, because your reward is rich. He gives us some things now, but he's talking about the big payday.
And Dr. Evans will tell us more about that payday tomorrow, when he wraps up this final lesson in his brand new series called The Eternal Perspective. As always, copies are available for you to review on your own or share with your church. And as I mentioned earlier, you'll get all 10 full-length lessons in this collection as our thank you gift if you contact us by tomorrow and make a contribution of any amount to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Time is running out, so don't wait. Visit TonyEvans.org right away or call our 24-hour resource request line, 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Tomorrow, as I said, Dr. Evans will tell us about the rewards in store for believers who invest his resources wisely. Right now, though, he's back to wrap up our program today with a closing word of prayer.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God that goes forth through this ministry and for every ear that hears it. I pray that you will use the word in the life of each person individually so that they know that they are hearing from you and are transformed by what they hear. I pray that that transformation touches them at their place of need, wherever they're hurting, struggling, wherever they're in pain, or wherever they're celebrating. May you be the center of that, and may they be able to say, because of the word that they've heard and because of the true God that they're interacting with right now, that you have showed up and shown off on their behalf, doing good by them no matter what their circumstances happen to be. Thank you for how you're going to touch every listener today in your own special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.